Love to See It, the podcast where we watch TV shows and movies and tell you all about them. I'm your host, LB, you can't see me, I did the hand movement and everything, Punctiers. And I'm joined by my wonderful friends, my wonderful co-hosts, Fernanda, Magnets, how do they work, Praches. Hello, Fernanda.
Hello, yes, I wanted to pay homage to what I believe to be the real stars of the movie and to what I believe to be the greatest group of all time. So I felt like that was a golden opportunity.
And we can't be talking about fast things without Paul Nobody Jr. Tamayo. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to go off on the Fast and Furious series.
Go off? I hope somebody is going to fly a big plane and catch you.
Let's hope.
So yeah, we are this week on You Love to See It, we are talking about the magnetiest, fastest, most furious film of 2021. We all saw Fast 9. The Fast Saga. Fast 9, the Fast Saga.
Y'all ever thought about the wild missions we've been on?
We've taken out planes, trains, tanks. I'm not going to even think about the submarine.
Now we're up against Dom's brother.
That's another level.
Say you get what you're after. A weapon so dangerous it shouldn't exist for another half century. What would you do with it? Launch some global attack?
Plans are in motion.
This should be interesting.
Whatever's on you,
is he ready?
It's on us.
We've never faced anything like this.
Or big cars. Fast cars.
Man, we messing with magnets now? If you broke, don't wake up.
Whoa.
Exactly, bro. We going wild.
So here's the IMDb description. Thank you, Fernanda, for grabbing this. This was a collaborative effort of putting these notes together. Okay, Cypher enlists the help of Jacob, Dom's younger brother, to take revenge on Dom and his team. I mean, that's an interesting, actually, like, the framing it as being about Charlize Theron and her cube rather than being about our favorite family.
It is amazing. That's why I loved it so much. And then the fact that the tags under it, like, woman with short hair was the first tag, is also amazing. I feel like this completely misrepresents the movie, and I love it.
Woman with short hair, Tbilisi, Georgia, car chase, car crash. Those are very accurate. And bald man.
Yeah. Look, representation matters, okay? As a bald man, I need to see my representation on screen, okay?
Oh. Well, I'm glad. That's beautiful. I have the little like flap in the back of my head that Vin Diesel has, so I also feel a certain amount of representation. You know, I have long hair right now. Okay. So, but the Rotten Tomatoes description: Vin Diesel's Dom Toretto is leading a quiet life off the grid with Letty and his son, Little Brian. But they know that danger always lurks just over their peaceful horizon. This time, that threat will force Dom to confront the sins of his past. If he's going to save those he loves most. His crew joins together to stop a world-shattering plot led by the most skilled assassin and high-performance driver they've ever encountered. A man who also happens to be Dom's forsaken brother, Jacob. John Cena, the upcoming Suicide Squad.
That is an amazing description, though, I feel. Like that. That's
really a really good one. I think that's what this movie is about. So
yeah, and
family, yeah,
ditching your family to go do dangerous things too.
That's what it is. So let's get into this section, the first scene where we talk about our history with what's your fast and furious history.
Fernanda, do you want to go first?
Yeah, like. Okay, so here's the thing that happens with me in Fast and Furious, and it's the same thing that happens with Mission Impossible and James Bond movies, which is as soon as I'm done watching, I erase literally everything that just happened from like my brain. I do feel like it is some kind of just like recourse from my brain, some kind of like setting. It just does it. So I actually watched a lot of Fast and Furious movies. I feel like I like them, but I don't remember which ones I watched. I have no recollection of the plot. When John Cena appeared, I was like, was John Cena here before? Was Jacob a thing? Like, I legitimately didn't know. But the cool thing about the Fast and Furious universe is that you don't have to understand what's going on. In fact, I would argue that not understanding what's going on is an asset, because Fast and Furious is not a movie. It's a feeling. Like, you can't explain it. Otherwise, you just like lose the beauty of it. So yeah, that's my history of it. Saw a lot, don't remember which ones, and forgot all of them. And I think that's great.
That's beautiful. Goldfish Fernanda.
Like Dory or whatever.
So when the first one came out, I was like, you know, bullseye target demographic. I was turning 13 years old. I was vaguely into cars. And by way of, again, I've mentioned this before, but by way of mostly Gran Turismo. And it completely just like became the greatest film I'd ever seen, at least up until then, up until the 13 years of my existence. And I actually fell off of the series like after the first sequel, Too Fast, Too Furious. And it wasn't until I was in high school when Tokyo Drift came out that I was like, okay, we're back on. And I am a pretty vocal Tokyo Drift apologist. In fact, I adore that movie. And shout out to Justin Lin for saving this entire franchise. And ever since then, I have been a massive fan of the franchise. And I always knew in my heart of hearts that like it would kind of lose its way eventually. And I guess without skipping ahead too far, it definitely has. But there is still a lot to enjoy in these films, and like the history that I, you know, have with these films, which is now wild to think about. Just 20 year history with this film. That they really do kind of feel like a family for better and for worse. But yeah, that's pretty much my history.
Okay. Damn, that's like powerful. That's intense. I feel like I should have gone before you. Because mine's kind of a letdown.
No. I mean, it would kind of echo the themes of this movie in a lot of ways.
Damn. I did not see a Fast and the Furious movie until I was an adult. I was taking an art class at one of the colleges I dropped out of, and I procrastinated all my assignments, so I did them all in one night, and I torrented every Fast and the Furious movie up until that point, so I think it was the first six.
Nice.
And just watched all of them and did my art homework, and was like, this is amazing.
Hell yeah.
This is great. This is the best shit I could ever look at. And like, when you're going, you know, and you're very tired, and you have to get stuff done, but you're watching like Fast Five for the first time, like that's very motivating.
Oh, sure.
And then I watched all of them again in another marathon form at a birthday party someone threw me who I didn't know. But in that process, I decided that Tokyo Drift is my favorite, I think.
It's so good.
Yeah. So I went in, but again, it's like, I didn't see 8, I didn't see Hobbs and Shaw.
You don't have to.
And like Fernanda, I could not tell you what happens in 6 and 7, or 4, or explain why anything in 5 happens.
Or the naming conventions. You said 4, but it's actually Fast and Furious, because nothing in the series makes sense at all, and that's okay. You know, that's like kind of what we're here for. We're just, you know, kind of living a quarter of a mile at a time, and we're not really questioning things as they, you know, zoom past us. But I sadly remember everything that happens in the series because I've watched every movie like multiple times, and much like you, LB, I actually agree. I think overall these movies are brilliant. Like even the worst ones are still a lot of fun to watch, and they're like, yeah, kind of the food of the people, right? Like we this is like very in a lot of ways like lowbrow kind of blockbuster entertainment, but they do so much, and they've been doing this for 20 years now, for longer than the Marvel Cinematic Universe has been doing it, for longer than, you know, a lot of other, you know, maybe not as long as the actual Mission Impossible series, actually, now that I think about it, and definitely not like 007, which it's trying to, you know, without skipping ahead again, it's trying to like tiptoe into that kind of world. I sadly have like an encyclopedic knowledge of these films, and I'm kind of ashamed to admit it. So
no, don't be. We need that for this, because we're about to get into this, like what happens in this movie. And
I'm glad because I don't remember. So this will be a discovery process for me too.
Awesome.
It's great. I was so unaware of what was going on that here's an example, right? I mentioned briefly when Jordana Brewster appeared. I was like, I remarked on the sexual chemistry between her and Vin Diesel. And
then,
my partner was like, they're siblings. And I just felt disgusting for the rest of the movie. Sorry about thinking that and about sharing it with you.
No, it's okay.
No, that is a powerful level of God's just working on all not of knowing us. What's happening. I love that for you. That's beautiful. I feel like we watch this movie like these three, we like have all the bases covered.
Yeah.
So do we want to get into this film?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
So we open on Dom and Letty's farm that they have.
What a sentence.
They have a farm. I don't know what they farm.
They bought a farm.
They bought a farm. They seem to farm car. And so Dom is fixing car or truck.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe tractor?
Sure.
It might have been a tractor for farm. With the help of little Brian, his son. With not Letty, but a character who is maybe a cop. Right?
No.
Who's the mom of the kid?
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just know that Charlize Theron killed her.
Yeah. She's dead.
She the cop? Who he was?
Yeah, she was the Brazilian cop.
The Brazilian cop. Hell yeah. Who remembers things? It's me.
See representation. There's a dead there Brazilian.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I feel seen.
Oh, wow. Off to a great start, Fast 9. I love
it. A car drives up. They're doing stuff. And, oh, hey, guess what? It is Roman, Tej, and Ramsey, who is the British hacker girl. And they're here to say that Mr. Nobody, who is... also is a man who is in these movies who I'd forgotten about, captured Charlize Theron, the hacker, maybe, named Cypher.
Right.
But his plane was attacked and it crashed and they have to go investigate for some reason.
Well, can I please, just interrupt real quick?
Please interrupt. You have blanket permission. Paul, both of you have blanket permission to interrupt me at any point.
Oh, wow. Okay. I will use that very, very cautiously. I'm very respectful. But I want to say before the crew comes by, right? Before they stop by the Airbnb or wherever they're staying at, this farm, there is a very crucial opening flashback scene where it opens up and we're in the year 1989, and I wrote in my notes, it felt like seeing Superman on Krypton, because we get to see, not only do we get to see Dom and Jacob, their father, we get to see young Dom, played by an actor who looks nothing like Vin Diesel.
Yep.
And also another guy who looks nothing like John Cena, which is okay. You know, this is a series where the wildest stuff happens and we suspend our disbelief. We turn our, you know, we kind of shut our brains off for 2 hours, in this case, 2.5 hours, the longest movie in the series so far. And I thought the opening scene was the opening flashback was actually like kind of well done. It was really cool to like see them mine the lore here, the Fast and Furious lore, because we only get to hear about that in the first film, about like why Dom is the way he is and why he has, you know, we see by way of the FBI briefing on Dom that like he was in jail for almost killing a man. And we find out later that that man killed his father, essentially. And it was actually pretty well done. I liked that getting to see them race at this actual track, you know, mm-hmm. I'm assuming probably like in the 80s or maybe even early 90s. And it was cool. It was cool to see that. Like, I thought that was an interesting kind of window into that history that, like, before it was just kind of mentioned, and now we're actually, like, exploring it. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I liked it too. But yes, they do look absolutely nothing like their themselves.
Nothing like
it's just wild. Like, they didn't even try, but that's your prerogative, right? Like, if you made it to Fast and Furious 9, like, if they just earned their right to, like, put a rocket in a car and send it to space. You know, they laid down the foundation for that. So at this point, it's kind of like, yeah, so what? They look nothing like their grown-up selves. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's just like, it's everything is irrelevant. It's amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed that this was the opening thing. But yeah, no, this was great. I loved all the flashback stuff. Like the context again, like bringing it back to, because my big complaint about the later movies is that you lose the racing and the stuff that, like, made me really like the franchise in the first, the first few movies, which again, like, it was a very truncated experience of me watching all these films, but I did form a bond to the early, to, like, especially the first one, which is just Point Break with cars and happier ending, which I love. I love that. I love, you know, and it's LA and it's great. So yeah, I liked seeing that. I thought that, like, the actors they got were good, even if they didn't look like the older versions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't always love that, like, gray tone that they put on the past.
Like the sepia thing.
Like the sepia tone of the night of 1989.
Yeah, like
this
we get
is
it.
Old stuff, okay, guys? Yeah, just old, in case you missed it.
He's in a tank top and he's got a cross chain on. They all have them on. It's like, we get it. We know what it also, it said 1989. Like, we get it.
But I love it because it's at the same time, like, it's the most confusing movie in the world, but it also doesn't want to, like, leave you hanging.
Yeah.
So it gives you, like, very basic explanations you don't need. And at the same time, it doesn't give you all the explanations that you do need. So it's great.
I think the assumption is that you remember what happened in, like, 8, which I didn't see. So I'm assuming that most of the things I was confused about, like, why. So if going back to the now time of them heading to Central America, because they need to go back to their old life of, what do they do? What is their job? So, are they like a private intelligence organization of former DVD player thieves?
Yeah, so that's how they started, right? Everyone starts with a dream, right? It's that rise to riches story of first you sell DVD stolen DVD players, and now you're this sort of global spy organization. Essentially, like, they just have a shit ton of money because they've pulled off actual heists in the past and somehow also have cleared their record like 3 times at this point. So that's kind of what they do. And I think, these movies have, like, clearly never been sort of, like, plotted in the way that, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is, where we have, like,
it's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. That's totally fine. Like, they're definitely written, like, one at a time, which is also, again, kind of how the characters in the movies live their lives, right? A quarter of a mile at a time. That's exactly how these movies are written. There's no, you know, set course plotted. But the movies kind of just have learned the wrong lessons over time, which is like, yeah, they're just spies now. This is just Mission Impossible. And when in fact, it's kind of more like the Pierce Brosnan 007 movies, which are fun, but, you know, not necessarily good.
Who's paying them? Because, like, when you're a spy, you're working for something, like an organization or whatever. Like, who are they working for?
So I think, like, what they're trying to do here is, so we have Kurt Russell's character, Mr. Nobody, right, who is this kind of shadowy figure who, again, has hired them in the past or teamed up with them in the past. And all we know is that he went down with the plane and there was a device on there that they need to recover. And but the sort of main, I guess, carrot on the stick here is that, like, I forget if I'm sorry, I might be skipping ahead here, but the main thing I believe is like they need to recover this device, but also Mr. Nobody's dead, presumably, and he's family now, I guess, and we gotta go.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So it's because they like Kurt Russell a lot.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
As they should. Like, as
that's
they
what
should.
I assumed.
Yeah. Understand.
Because like, yeah, the family thing tends to be like the driving motivation for most mm-hmm. things. Somebody's family now, so you have to help them out or do a big heist for some reason and go drive a car from one building into another building and right. fight with Ronda Rousey, you know, all the various things that they do.
Sure.
So they're in Central America, and this is, we get our like first crazy shit scene, which is pretty much what Fast and Furious movies are about now, is scenes where crazy shit happens. They fight a military.
Yeah.
They drive through a field of landmines.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. As one does.
As one does. Roman almost gets blown up.
But doesn't.
And also shot.
Yeah.
Yes.
What else? Can you help me out here? What else happens?
Oh my God. Let me consult my notes here.
Letty's on a motorcycle in the minefield, which is great.
Yeah, yeah, because everyone knows you're pretty much safe in a motorcycle at a landfill. I also want to say the John Cena reveal is like one of the most brilliant things I've ever seen, because the chain is hanging over his shoulder and it's like instantly like, oh yeah, okay, that's a Toretto. Like that's like the Superman S. It's like, okay.
The chain.
Yeah.
It is. No,
that's the like right after that chase. Well, we realize that it is him and that, like, you know, now it's like brother versus brother, like it's on.
Right.
And he drives off a cliff and gets picked up by a plane.
Which is cool.
If I'm not mistaken, that's what happens.
That is what happens. And it is cool.
I didn't hallucinate that. Okay, yeah. No. Further context, I was watching this at a drive-in. It was raining intensely, so that's not ideal environment for drive-in watching. And the car in front of us kept randomly turning on their lights. So I will say that also accounted for my confusion in some of these parts. But
oh, yeah. Let's get into our theater experiences real fast, because this is the first one we've done in a movie theater, or like seeing it live, yeah. Seeing it at the drive-in or theater. So Fernanda, in the rain with the car in front of you, turning the lights on and off.
I had actually gone to the drive-in here a few times before because it has been open because it's in the car and they right. let it. And we didn't really have that extended of a lockdown. And here in Mexico City for contests for people who are listening. And then my partner is a big fan of the drive-in because, like, there are nachos and popcorn. He has an absolutely unhealthy obsession with popcorn that I will never understand, but that's okay.
Same.
But I
wow.
personally obsessed. It's a thing. I personally don't. I think the drive-in is a better idea than it is in practice, because it's kind of like I'm in the car. It's not as comfortable as like the couch, and there are cars in front of us like with lights and shit. Like, and then to go to the bathroom, you have to like get out of the car and go to a public bathroom. Like, there's a whole thing. So I like telling people I'm going to the drive-in because it sounds cool. But in reality, I'd just rather watch stuff from my couch, to be honest.
That's fair. What was your snack situation?
I had actually had eaten, but we had... Rodrigo had a vegetarian burger and some sweet potato fries.
Oh,
so yeah, nice. I ate his fries. Obviously, I also or may not have snuck in a little bit of bourbon, but that's
allegedly.
If somebody asks, no, that never happened.
Right.
Beautiful.
Because they told me if we catch it with alcohol, like it's a problem, and they told me specifically. So I feel like
really?
I give out that vibe. Yeah, when like the car's going,
what? They look directly at you.
Like you can't have alcohol here, okay?
Wow.
Okay. I guess that's the cut. In fairness, I did have alcohol, so I was like, you got me.
You got to work on your poker face, Fernando. You should work on that sometime.
You got me driving people.
I just had a water and my partner had a Coke that we were also sharing, and we were in those nice sort of like one of those like AMC theaters with like the reclining seats. So I was chilling. And the theater was kind of empty, so I wasn't too worried because, you know, New York has been reopening a lot of stuff lately. But yeah, it was nice. It was nice to actually. It was weird to. Well, this is my second time back in the theater because I saw A Quiet Place 2 with some friends a little while back. So yeah, it is kind of jarring to be back in a theater and be like, oh yeah, this is fun actually.
Yeah, this is my first time back.
Nice.
I had a couple options. California is completely reopened, and they announced that reopening at one of my options for theaters. So I didn't go there because I figured it would be insane to go to Universal to see the new Fast and the Furious movie. I didn't want to deal with that. So I walked to the less expensive theater, got the weekday matinee price, my peanut M&Ms, a Coke, and one of the most uncomfortable seats I have ever sat in. Like being away from the movie theaters and like public transportation and benches and all the uncomfortable places I used to sit, my body is spoiled now. And it doesn't know. It doesn't know how to sit in a very uncomfortable seat for 2.5 hours. So I am still in pain from that particular thing. It's okay. Because it was great to see in like a theater with other people. And it was a mostly empty theater. But there was one guy who was like, maybe like less than 10 people total in the whole theater. Because it is the cheap theater with the uncomfortable seats.
Mm-hmm.
On a Tuesday afternoon.
That makes sense, yeah.
So, but there was one guy who was clapping.
Hell yeah.
Every time there was a speech about family or like a heart-rending flashback, I could hear him sniffling loudly.
Yes.
That's
he stayed
amazing.
For the credits.
Cool.
And like, that is somebody living, like, that is an authentic way to live.
You're
I have
sure
so much respect
Vin
for that.
Diesel?
I am, because I forgot how to exist in public. And I don't, like, my timing is off for how long I can look at somebody.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So, sure. Thing, yeah.
So I'm like, you know all the stuff where, like, someone goes to New York City from the country and they're just looking around staring? Like, that was me. Like, I just wow. I didn't know how to look away. Like, my timing's off because I used to be able to like look, get the information, then look away before anyone can catch me looking at them. Because I want to know who's around me. These are basic things, but I lost my ability to do that. I was also pretty high, so I did make eye contact with him a few times, and it wasn't Vin Diesel. Full head of hair, also. I mean, unless it was a very good disguise.
Could be. They're spies now, so you never know.
There are spies. Do we want to get really deep into like the plot of this, or do we want to just kind of focus on the high points and big crazy scenes?
We could do that because I feel like, yeah. I think the one thing that the best part of this scene, believe it or not, is it's not the Vin Diesel driving off the cliff and then like, you know, getting the rope or whatever.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Latched onto his wheel axle or whatever the hell he does, that Tarzan swing. It's not that, believe it or not. It's Roman scene, right? It's Roman when he tries to get out of the car. He successfully gets out of the car. It blows up. We think he's dead. Nope. He walks from behind that big, you know, armored vehicle. And that's when he begins to wonder, like a lot of, I mean, like, I can't say a lot. I'm not really tapped into the Fast and Furious community, but like I've been wondering for some time now is like, are they ever going to address, because I've always thought that these movies have operated under like different laws of physics, different rules. This is, for all I know, this is a different planet altogether that also happens to have like Dubai and all these other places that they go to.
Yeah.
Because they have, like we mentioned before, driven through buildings. Vin Diesel Dom Toretto has a tendency to just drive off of things with no plan and somehow walk away with just maybe a scratch.
Yeah.
So Tyrese's character, Roman Pierce, kind of posits this really interesting hypothesis that's like, are we immortal? Like, we continue to live and we continue to like leave these or survive these incredible scenarios with you know, with barely a scratch on us. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I'm like rubbing my hands in the theater, like kind of like a very subdued version of the gentleman that was in the theater with you, Elby. So I'm just like, all right, now we're asking the real questions. We're starting to really get into it. And that's when I was like, okay, the movie might have a chance to really do some fun stuff. And it does. I think it does. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, it's so bizarre, the amount of stuff that happens. And I don't know.
I mean, I feel like they actually do address it. Like,
yeah,
they don't say it, but they say it.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
But they don't say it. I mean, they say it out loud, but then there's this unspoken thing.
Yep.
There's an unspoken thing, I think, in this movie series, which is maybe insane, but I'm going to say it, which is that it is God who is helping them.
Okay. Oh, my God. I have a different theory, but...
And that's like, because they're always like, because the presence of saying grace is like a very important thing in the series. And it's like, you're really family if you're like, if they invite you to say grace at like this, like, yeah, they don't go do all this crazy shit, but really like... They do all the crazy shit so that they can all be together in some backyard somewhere, like drinking Coronas. And then like somebody says grace and they're like, okay, no, you're really family. You can drink Coronas with us in this backyard. And like they all have like the crosses are really important. And like,
yeah, wow.
There's like a lot of like subdued religious imagery in the Fast and the Furious series. Again, I was very high at this movie.
But no, this all tracks. I'm like, wow, I guess the real power was the power of the Lord this entire time.
Little did we know.
Jeez. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm in.
I, as an atheist, I subscribe to this theory too.
Yeah.
I may be a believer now.
I mean, it's like, it's a fictional universe. It's a fictional world. Like, it isn't like, maybe it's some like, I don't know, maybe it's just like, race car like Jesus. I don't
know.
They
did it before like Mother. Like everybody thought that Darren Aronofsky was a genius. But no, he just copied his concept from Fast and Furious.
Get your own ideas.
So
yeah, Darren, come on.
Now we know. And all it took was LB being high watching this to unlock the secret of the franchise.
When I
say like we're creating amazing things on this podcast, I mean it. We really are changing the conversation.
So does that make like Vin Diesel like the chosen one then?
I just think, okay, so because there's this part where that you're talking about where Roman has this like moment in Central America and then they're later in a hideout and they have this like, there's this little like, there's the family, but the family's huge. So there's these little subgroups in the family. And like Tej, Roman, and Ramsey are like a little trio. And they're like, you see the three of them a lot. And it's usually like Roman on the outside with like the two like computer geniuses, like making fun of him. And that's happening again. And Roman's talking about like, you know, are we invincible? And I really thought they were going for like, yeah, no, we're being protected by God. And they didn't go there. They just made fun of him. But I'm like, that's what's happening.
No, but you got it.
That's what's happening.
Yeah. That's
but I think it's just that they're good people. And they're like, they're a force for good. And so maybe it's not like Mr. God in a race car in heaven. and like, you know,
that's
the
a great mental image, though.
But like the forces of good in the universe are like behind them because they're trying to be good and they have good values and they care about family and like everything you're doing, you're doing for the right reason.
That's my whole thing. You say you care about family, but A, you're estranged from your brother who is also John Cena, like bad first sign. And B, but Letty and Toretto just fucking ditched the child, didn't even give a fuck to go around the world doing dangerous things and maybe die. And the kid has already lost his dead Brazilian mom. So it's like, honestly, maybe that was a little like uncool. They could have left one parent behind. Like, who was the kid left with? Like, we don't
even
know.
Brian.
He was left with Paul Walker, who's still alive in the franchise.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. I forgot.
And the cousin
and Brewster says it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so little Brian is with adult Brian, who's still alive, and like the cousins, I guess. So
I didn't even know he was alive in the franchise, to be honest. Because, like, I have this scene that it's been a long day. Like, it immediately goes to my mind. But I kept singing it throughout the movie. Rodrigo was happy.
That's a good point. That's also maybe why I thought that. Because I did, when I saw that, I was like, oh, he's driving to heaven in his car.
That's what I thought watching it. I was like, oh, he died. And it's like, and I'll tell you, like, it's sad. It's a sad movie.
It is. It's a beautiful scene. It's a really beautiful, like, thing that's happened. I mean, I can't recall any other movie. I mean, I'm also a dumb, big dumb baby, but I also don't, I can't really recall another movie that, like, does that, right? That, like, says goodbye to one of its, you know, stars in a really, like, beautiful and, like, I watched it just the other night because I've been rewatching all these movies before Nine. And, yeah, like you kind of forget, you assume that, like, yeah, because he's not an eight, and you're like, okay, he's just, yeah, I maybe they're just gone forever. But then Mia comes back, and I'm talking about family. She's like, all right, I'm gonna leave my husband with not only our child, our children, but also
my brother's kid.
Yeah, my nephew. And we're just going to go real quick. I'm just going to go to Central America and all these other places real quick. I'll be right back.
Do a bunch of international crimes for family.
We have the power of the Lord now that I know this. It changes everything.
It seems less irresponsible.
I think that scene, though, Fernanda, like, that's the scene I think that made me think, like, okay, no, there is, like, a spiritual element of these movies, like, that's literally baked in. Because I really thought he was driving to heaven. So now that he didn't drive to heaven, my theory is a little bit undercut, but I still think it holds. I guess Paul Walker was driving to heaven, but Brian was driving, like, away from the Fast and Furious life to, like, a slow and serene life of being a cool stay-at-home dad who takes care of all the kids when the parents, which is actually an ingenious device. So, because you have a guy built in who is going to watch everybody's kids when they go do crazy shit. And, like, what are you going to do? Say that's bad? Like, that's disrespectful.
Yeah.
Like, you can't question it because it's disrespectful.
Yeah. Like, stop. Like, what are your, like, why are you subjecting yourself to these gender expectations? Like, it's amazing that
staying
home while Mia goes to eat noodles with Michelle Rodriguez in, I don't know, Tokyo. I don't remember. I lost track.
Yeah, underneath the Mexican flag, which is, I want to do that. I want to have noodles with Michelle Rodriguez in Tokyo.
That does, like, sound.
Those noodles look so good.
Oh, hold on real quick. Can we talk about Michelle Rodriguez in what is pretty much a gun holster the entire movie, which I was like, that's, I don't know. I thought that was a good look for Letty for once. I feel like if you're going to really lean into the international spy thing, I mean, it's not a bad look.
She looked great. She looked amazing. She looked wonderful. Her hair was great.
Her hair was awesome.
I just love to see her.
But she has, like, no, like, what the fuck is her relationship with Dom Toretto? Like, there's no chemistry there. Right. Like, they keep trying to make, like, Michelle Rodriguez happen in this, like, heteronormative, like, things. And it does not work. She has more chemistry with, like, what's her face? Jordana Brewster. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting their names.
She does. Mia. It's fine, though. Because it's, like, sometimes you get a farm and you're raising a kid together. And that's not about, like, animal magnetism. That's about, like...
Yeah.
Like, they have, like, they want to do this. They want the same life path. They, like, want to raise this kid. They want to save the world. Yeah. They, like, care about each other on a deep, deep level. And, like, it, you know, they've known each other for
together.
They've been together off and on for 20 years because they're together in the first movie.
Mm-hmm. You're right. This is me. This is me being horny.
No. It's not. It's just, like, because it's Michelle Rodriguez and you want to see her, like, also, we just so watched Blue Crush, and it's like, she deserves it. She deserves, like, something. She deserves passion.
Yeah, that's kind of, I think that's it. But I get what you're saying. They have a deeper connection. Like, when you have somebody who will, like, Tarzan your way out of a cliff in a car with you, like, I feel like that's a deeper connection than most of us can even begin to understand.
I don't know, but I mean, that is, but, like, it's just... I don't know. I hope she's getting in there when she's not busy with somebody. Letty, like, I just want that for you because you deserve it. If you want it, I'm speaking to this fictional woman.
I love it. We always overthink, like, Michelle Rodriguez.
In the first movie, though, when she shows up and she's got those little sunglasses and she's just so, she's just like, that That's it.
Yep. Leather pants.
Yeah, she's aspirational, absolutely.
She's like, just... Yeah, no, but, go ahead.
No, just that. So we're talking... Like, that's the thing. Mia appears, and I'm trying to think on the timeline, because we also get introduced to Jacob's, like, partner, associate, whatever that is.
Oh, yeah, I completely lost track of hosting this episode. Me too. And, like, taking us through the plot. I'm so sorry.
No, let's just
do... Yeah, his little German twink.
Who is disrespected repeatedly by Charlize Theron, who's in a box. And... Does she ever leave the box?
Yeah, she gets out of the box. She's freed. She talks her way out of the cube. Okay, her look, speaking of leather pants,
yeah,
she's just like has this perfectly like just the slickest haircut. She's
a prisoner.
She's a prisoner. Yeah, but it's still like it is so freshly done.
You're right.
Like you can smell the Bumble and Bumble spray, like from that expensive ass salon that she got that hair. Like there's little bits of hair dust on her shoulders, probably. That haircut is so fresh. In her red leather pants, looking like the shiniest, sparkliest person. Her eyes are so wet and shiny in this movie. She looks like a 1970s like shoujo anime.
I love it. Somebody pointed out when I was reading like a review that she doesn't have a bathroom, but she like changes like twice or whatever.
So she hacked it. Like... She hacked her like her intestines and bladder. She's good. She hacked it.
Absolutely. I feel like that fits in with the universe, honestly.
Okay, wait. If the Fast and the Furious, like, good guy crew are all, like, assisted by God, Charlize Theron has way too much power. Maybe she is being assisted, but that's what I'm saying. Maybe there's, like, some demonic powers.
You know, honestly, though, if anyone deserves a spinoff, it's Charlize and not Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Seriously?
And Jason Statham. Because, first of all, that movie was garbage. Like, not even, like, good garbage. It was, I went to go see it, and I left the theater, like, you know, wow. I'm never going to get those 2 hours back. And, yeah, I did not like Hobbs and Shaw. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was just, like, a device for The Rock to... I think The Rock... You know, listen, if you're going to ask me if I'm Team Tyrese or Team Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I might lean... Team Tyrese here because they have actually like not I, there was like a, I think I put in the trivia that Tyrese was he said that he didn't want to do the movie if The Rock was in it, and I think because of that he's not in this movie. I think he passed on it, and then Tyrese was like, all right, I'll do it, because yeah, I do kind of feel like I didn't watch The Fast and the Furious for The Rock. I watched it for everyone else, to be honest. I thought The Rock was great in the ones that he did previously, even his little cameo in 7, I believe. But yeah, I don't know. I guess going back to the movie for a second, like speaking of like cameos, we get to see the Tokyo Drift crew in this movie. And it's so wild because the timeline, again, these movies haven't been written in any real, you know, thought out way. Prior to actually filming them, the timeline, are y'all familiar with the actual timeline, like the way in which
Tokyo Drift
like...
takes place like between 6 and 9, between 6 and 7. Okay, I knew it was after 6. I didn't know like what comes after. Right. Yeah, so it's not like.
Or no. Is it? Oh no, yeah, between 6 and 7. Yeah, because at the end of that one, at the post credits stinger is, oh no, it's the scene where Han dies in Tokyo Drift in the third one, and it turns out, to go back to how it actually played out in real life. Tokyo Drift comes out. It wasn't actually like a huge success. In some ways, it actually didn't perform. It kind of underperformed like in the box office. But Justin Lin, who had previously filmed a movie with, Sung Kang, who plays Han, I guess like he was such a popular character, and I'm assuming they probably had a good relationship with the director and stuff because they previously worked together. They were like, oh, they want to do more Fast and Furious films, and they want me to direct them, so I need to get Han in here somehow. And they made 4 through 6, or I guess up to 7, they made those prequels to Tokyo Drift. So prequels to a movie that came out in like, what, 2005, 2006? So those actors were whatever age they were at that point in time in their lives, right? And then they come back in this film together. And they're like, I mean, I'm trying not to be too mean here, but they're like, they look older, you know, like, even though they're supposed to be like a few years after Tokyo Drift. It was just kind of jarring to see the gang back. And also just like, as these like rocket scientists in where was it? Cologne?
Germany, yeah, they're in Germany somewhere.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I was just kind of like, okay, so this is where we're going, huh?
So yeah. Were you sad they're not still drifting?
A little bit, yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, I feel like it's a weird... They're kind of being used as these, like, goofy plot devices when, in my opinion, I thought they were, like, really cool written characters who, you know, with the addition of Han, who I think they also did a huge misservice to in this movie, to Han's legacy.
Yeah.
Even though I love the actor and I love the character still... this movie like retcons two major things that I didn't like. But one of the things, I guess if you want to kind of add this to the my list of grievances, was yeah, they kind of did that Tokyo Drift crew a little dirty, because like I love that they were kind of establishing their own community in Tokyo, and they were kind of the last time we saw them, which I believe was in 7, when Vin Diesel goes to Tokyo to talk to the main character from Tokyo Drift, who I'm forgetting.
Sean?
Is
it Sean and Han, right?
That sounds right.
Sean and Han.
So we see Sean and, you know, so, and the way we see him is in that sort of parking garage within the cool, like, drifting scene. And I was like, oh, cool. That's a really cool future for them, right? But then all of a sudden now they're just like in this random other place all working together to test rockets. I don't know, it just felt a little grimy to me. I would have wanted more for them. I don't know,
that's fair. I think that's completely fair. The thing I enjoyed about this that I also didn't like about it is that I felt I was being pandered to very mm-hmm. heavily.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I was so happy to see the Tokyo Drift crew. Like, I'm just glad to see them.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I know they're here because Tokyo Drift has gotten critical reappraisal very loudly on the internet. And I know Han is back because people were very angry that Han got removed, and not because like the studio gods were like, no, we need him because we like him.
Well, not only that, but they kill Han, who's you know, arguably one of the best characters in the series.
Yeah,
and
top
then
five for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And then they make a spin-off movie with his killer as one of the heroes.
Yeah, that's why I didn't see that. That's also
what the fuck?
Like, because I think I took an Instagram video or something when I was stuck in traffic, like of the billboard, like I'll never forgive you.
Yeah, that's where the hashtag came from. That's where the movement came from, for the Justice for Han.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like, I mean, so, okay. So,
because Jason Statham is the one who killed him, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Jason Statham. Yeah. Sorry. I got to say, this is kind of a perfect way to segue into this, but like, one of the major retcons that this film does is they make Han a cop in Tokyo Drift,
which is fucked up.
Which is bullshit, because when we first meet Han, he's like this cool, like, you know, really understated, you know, calm, cool and collected guy. And his reasoning for how he trusts people is really interesting, right? He trusts Sean because he's like, oh, I need people with character around me. I need people who I can trust. And like, you come to learn that he actually used to roll with Dom. And like, he's got a really interesting, rich backstory. And then there's that scene where he's like, you know, why do you drift? Like, you know, he like drifts basically to just enjoy it. He like gets he gets this like girl's number as he drifts around her car in this intersection in Tokyo, and that's like kind of all you need to know about Han, right? He just kind of like lives to the, you know, beat of his own drum, and he's awesome. And then they're like, oh, and by the way, in that entire movie he was a cop, he was working for Mr. Nobody, and he didn't die because Mr. Nobody helped him. And it's like, I don't know. It just, to me, it I was sucks. Just like, it felt like in I'm sorry, all I know is pop culture references, but it felt like in Spider-Man 3 when they were like, spoilers for Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 3, but when they flash back to the first film and they were like, oh yeah, Sandman killed Uncle Ben. Boom. Now you care even more, right? And I was like, no, not at all. I hate this actually even more.
That's not how it happened.
No. Yeah.
Stop treating me like I'm dumb.
Or somehow, yeah. Like, I don't know. I maybe didn't get that he, like, that Han was a cop for all of Tokyo Drift until I saw it in the notes that, so that I definitely, like,
yeah, again, it's confusing.
So many things are happening in this movie and they're redoing the timeline so much. And I'm sitting there like trying to remember like what, who Kurt Russell's character is and like when he got introduced. And he also has Kurt Russell has a throwaway line. Yeah, back when I was a CIA operative running the drug trade in Central America, and I'm like, whoa! Like,
fuck okay. You! I hate this to nobody.
Like, that's, okay. So I'm like, yeah. I'm like catching up, and so I missed that, but like, that sucks so much, and I probably would have not enjoyed this movie as much if I had caught that detail, because like, Han is so cool.
Yeah, he deserves so much better than this, I feel like.
But then, like, he adopts a girl who was the daughter of scientists who developed an apocalyptic machine thing. But they were nice. They just did the apocalypse because, I guess, reasons.
They need to pay the bills, I guess. I don't know.
And then they die and he adopts the girl. And,
which is great. And that's lovely of him.
Yeah, but like the girl is kind of lost also in the whole mix, right?
Yeah.
Like, I get maybe they might be introducing her for like a future movie. Maybe she'll get a bigger part or something. But I was a little... Okay, there's the thing.
My thing is I was really hoping like they'd introduce Han and it would be like he faked his own death for his own reasons.
Right. Yeah.
And like that he's been doing cool guy stuff this whole time. And like maybe a reintroduction of like just like a cool, like good hearted but criminal element to the like, because I like stuff about people stealing shit and doing crimes. And yes, they're doing a lot of crimes in this movie, but most of them are crimes of like doing warfare in the streets of Georgia because you're not supposed to do that, and not like there's one theft in this whole thing and we don't even get to see it happen. It's Helen Mirren steals a like swipes a necklace from a jewelry place.
Oh yeah.
And we just see her after she's stolen. Yeah. Oh, I guess we see her steal a car. That's pretty cool. But also, man, Helen Mirren still looking great. You're gonna look great
forever.
Queen. I have an Excalibur poster, like mini poster above my desk. I'm looking at it.
Oh
right
my
now.
God. Amazing.
Just babe of all time. Sorry.
Oh wait, I'm sorry. Before we move on, can we just quickly mention Cardi B posing?
Oh, yeah. Please.
Interpol.
Was she in a previous movie? Was she in a
no,
right?
Okay.
No.
Is she in A? Like, so it's just Cardi shows up.
I'm a little worried because in the past we've had big rapper cameos. There's also a Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny is seen in the flashback where Dom and Jacob race, and he didn't say anything. They might have even cut one of his lines. That's my guess. But Cardi B joins the ranks of other people like Iggy Azalea and I forget another Rita Ora.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I remember Rita Ora being in.
Who have both made cameos in the past, and I'm like, it's like the. I don't know, the cinematic equivalent of the Madden Curse. I don't know if y'all are familiar with the Madden Curse, but I'm hoping Cardi B can be spared.
What's that?
The Madden Curse is like whatever athletes on the Madden covers, they tend to like either get a really bad injury or
for
the NFL, or they just kind of disappear.
Oh no!
Which I'm hoping doesn't happen. No. Because Iggy Azalea?
I'm fine with her disappearing, but not Cardi.
Cardi is invincible.
That's what I'm saying. Let's pray, right?
Cardi's invincible. Bad Bunny, like, I don't know. I saw some of his wrestling stuff. He can handle anything. Cardi can handle anything.
I'll say Grace just to be safe.
That's a good call.
That's a good call, yeah. But like so her whole plot is that she has a gang of women who do fake Interpol heists.
That's true. That's very good.
Yeah. Because Dom knows everybody.
And her delivery also is just like...
She's very casual about it.
There's like all it was one. I want to see her do more acting, but I don't want to see her get better at acting.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
What was it? Hustlers? I think she's.
She was. Yeah.
Yeah, I just the whole deal, like she's very casual about the magnitude of whatever it is that they're pulling. It's just like, how did you even pull this together? Like, I feel like that deserves a spinoff. Just Cardi B's fake Interpol career.
I'd like to see that as like an anime. Like, you remember in the 2000s when American studios were like, anime's big, let's make American anime. I want that style of animation about this Cardi B character.
Okay.
Yeah, like Boondocks level animation.
Yeah.
This, yes.
Millionaire listeners.
I don't, there's something I love about like a very specific acting style or acting styles of somebody who like can't act, but is so charismatic and so charming mm-hmm. and has so much presence that it doesn't matter. And like, that's what Cardi was giving in this scene. And I really enjoyed it.
Me too.
Thank you for mentioning Cardi. Cause I had, there's again, like we can't get into everything that happens in this because there's so much.
And it's a long movie too. Like we said, it's 2 hours and a half. Just packed with shit. Like there is not a second where a thing is not happening. So like I feel like we're just doing like what's possible here, but I feel like focusing on the highlights is it really was the way to go because there was no way we would need like 5 hours.
Yeah, which I would gladly give to talk about this in depth because I love these movies, even the worst ones. Like I said, I still love them, but this one is.
What about Hobbs and Shaw though? Right.
Not Hobbs and Shaw. That doesn't count. Yeah, that's not a Fast and Furious.
I still love you, Idris Elba. Statham fan, which is why I kind of didn't want to watch that one. And I think I made a good call.
Yeah, good call. Good call. I will say, again, not trying to get into everything again, but the other thing that I didn't like that they kind of get to eventually with the second flashback, or I guess the reveal, is that Jacob was actually. You know, not I wouldn't say responsible, but it was responsible in the flashback for the car exploding for their father's car exploding. Mm-hmm. And that again felt like the second Spider-Man 3 retconning thing where it was like, oh, okay, so we're adding a wrinkle to this thing. First of all, we didn't know he had a brother. And two, that brother is now technically responsible for their father's death, even though he didn't know the car was going to explode, but they were going to throw the race. And there's a whole other thing. But like, I don't know, there's... I keep going back to this thing in my head of like this movie had a chance. I mean, if they were trying to make this movie good, which they, I guess, good is like it's hard to. People have different definitions of what that means. Mm-hmm. But if they were actually trying to make like a movie that had a good story and actually like respected his characters and stuff, they would have not continued just to turn that action dial all the way to 11. They would have just. In my opinion, they should have pared back the story. They should have made it like real intimate and like, sure, they could have still had some really interesting action scenes, but it could have gone the way of like, I was thinking about like the what they did to X-Men's Wolverine with Logan, or what they did with some of the like you know Bourne movies. It's like again, I can only refer to other pop culture things because I just love. These kind of really big pop culture monumental things, but like,
but I mean, that's also the language of that's what this is.
The movie.
It'd be weird if you were like, I wish this was more like Candide.
right. This movie, like, again, a lot for this for my video game fans out there, a lot like Resident Evil, like, kind of learned a lot of the wrong lessons about what made those games popular, and in this case, these movies popular, which is like, oh yeah, people just want to see like. Really big action set pieces and we have to keep pushing it further and further and further. And actually what makes these movies interesting are those dynamics between the characters and the history that they share together. And when one of them is in trouble, they all band together, you know, even when they're kind of pitted against each other, right? And this movie tries to do that with a character we just got introduced to, who I don't give a shit about. Sorry, John Cena fans. I also like John Cena. No shade to John Cena. But Resident Evil figured it out. They were like, oh yeah, let's go back to basics. Let's figure out what makes these games cool. And they did the remakes and that was cool. But like, yeah, this movie in particular, I mean, I still had a good time. There was still really like laugh out loud moments, but Oh my God. I mean, I guess we could just kind of jump over all the other plot points and talk about them going to space. Roman and Tej going to space.
I do want to address really quickly what I thought was the best action sequence in this, actually, which was the magnet nonsense in Scotland.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoyed. I think Ramsey is her name, the British hacker girl, steals the truck that John Cena is using to destroy all the technology in Scotland. Or just that one part of Edinburgh, to go into the basement of the Cathedral of Edinburgh to steal half of the thing we don't understand what it does, but it's bad. Which is stupid James Bond bullshit, but I enjoyed. Just as like learning how to drive a truck while Tej and Roman fight bad guys in the back of the truck, turning this giant magnet off and on and just like destroying the entire beautiful historic city. I really just enjoyed that. I thought it was like,
that was cool.
Really fun. The best combination of like car chase. Like, it made me think, like, actually, because at the same time, Dom is chasing after Jacob and like, John Cena's ziplining over all these rooftops. It was just like two good chases, lots of destruction. It made me wonder, like, what could Jackie Chan do with this franchise? Which is really one of the best things you can make me think while I'm watching a movie. If you were reminding me ever of Jackie Chan, you've done a great job. At least of his like directing. It did here. I love a good, funny, exciting chase. And that scratched this itch for me.
That had a lot of what makes these series, especially like five and six are probably the strongest, like objectively the strongest films in the series, because they have a nice mix of really well choreographed action set pieces that happen with cars, but then there's also these foot chases and there's martial arts, and it really, because there's that moment where they go inside the building and they're fighting and they're throwing each other through sheetrock and stuff. That is like, oh, okay, this is what I'm here for. And that was definitely like a highlight of the film for me, for sure.
Yeah, I would much rather see like cars just like fucking shit up and people doing absurd fighting than seeing cars doing things cars can't do, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, for sure, same.
Like, it's more exciting for me to watch her crash a truck around than for me to watch a car drive up a bridge that's falling off a cliff.
But not a car going to space, though.
Except for that. That was exciting. That was just like funny and cool.
I feel like that to me is like, it was an earned thing. Like I was saying at first, like the way the franchise has developed up to this point allowed them to get away with a scene that nobody else could have gotten away with, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, from what I remember, like starting with 8, there was plans to do like a multi-movie deal. I forget how many there are, but if they are not straight up like fighting Satan himself or whatever in the next one, then it's like, what are we doing here? If there isn't like a proper Jurassic Park crossover or something, it's like, how far can they continue to turn this dial before I'm just like, all right, I'll still watch them no matter what. Because this movie also goes out of its way. There's like a really cringy Star Wars exchange between Charlize Theron and the financier guy. And like, it's clear that these movies are trying to really like punch above their weight when it comes to like the franchises they're trying to literally compete with at the theater, you know, with Marvel and Star Wars and all these big franchises that they literally have like a Matrix Reloaded scene where Dom like Super Saiyan just screams 20 guys off of his back. He just flexes and pulls the ceiling down. It's just like, all right, well, I don't know. I think it's been a good ride, but it's definitely kind of coming to a stop. Them getting rescued by the ISS, that was a little funny moment though. That was kind of cool.
Yeah. I'm mixed. I feel kind of two things about the Pontiac in space. On the one hand, I love that they took like a Pontiac to outer space. I love that they did this. On the other hand, I don't love that they did it because it's part of like this weird, there needs to be comic relief in these movies. Absolutely. Like the one, I think it was the fourth one, Fast and Furious, is the one that with like no laughter or joy in it. And yeah. It's my least favorite one. It is genuinely my I haven't seen 8 and Hobbs and Shaw, but I'm sure I would like them more than that one even. I don't know. I'm never going to watch them, or at least I'm never going to watch Hobbs and Shaw, so I'll never know. But I don't know. It felt like they were like these characters. Roman and Tej, like to a certain extent, but like extremely, extremely like the Tokyo Drift crew, like were just kind of relegated to this comic relief thing. And like Roman and Tej, it's cool. I'm glad for them that they get to go to space. That's great. Like these fictional men, I love who I care about and love.
Love that for them, because it is a thing that not all of us get to experience in a lifetime, let alone most in a car. Don't.
So in a Pontiac Fiero,
exactly. Right. So I feel like that's a cool story to tell at parties and shit. So good on them.
So like,
get a load of this.
And like, Roman's from Barstow, like. I'm a weird, mm-hmm. I'm like a slight Too Fast, Too Furious apologist because I love Roman. Oh, that movie's fantastic. And I love like YT, like love like that era of aesthetics, and like it's so stupid. And I think the FBI guy in it, they hired because they wanted to get a different actor, but then he like left the country and he couldn't do it. So they had to get the other guy who they just always get. And like the Roman and Brian are like friends from Barstow, California. Barstow is... If you are unfamiliar, a fucking shit, like a shithole town on the way to Las Vegas.
Mm.
It like sucks. It's in San Bernardino County. It's just like this little shitty desert Inland Empire town. So the idea of Roman, this like kid from Barstow getting to go to space, I love that for him. I have maybe like too much of I don't know. I love Roman. I'm so glad he's in this movie. I'm glad The Rock wasn't in it, so Roman could be in it. But because I love Tyrese.
If anyone else deserves a spinoff,
Tyrese. He's so like cute and charming and like funny. And like if this was a D&D, you know, thing, he would be like the bard, absolutely. Because he's like, I'm motivated when he's like, yeah, okay. Like, but also, I don't know, like it felt a little too jokey.
Yeah.
And it would have been nice if that could feel as cool as it is to take a car to outer space. Like, it felt like it wasn't given the, like, cool factor that all the other crazy stunts get. When, like, objectively, taking a Pontiac to outer space is much cooler than, like, anything that anybody else does in this movie.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Does that make sense?
It does.
No, it totally does.
Because that whole sequence feels like it's like, oh, okay, we're in green screen world now, and they're clearly on a set, and they don't get to really do much beyond, you know, sort of like act it out while sitting down in zero gravity. And that's like, that's not what I'm here for. I'm not here to see this sort of like Apollo, whatever the fuck, you know, space thing or what's that one that came out a while ago where they land on the moon? I don't know, the other one, the other space movie. It's like, I don't know, that's not why I come to these movies, but like, I don't know, one of the, I mean, not counting the last, I mean, I guess we should probably start to wrap it up here, but probably. one of the last things that I'll say is like, one of the highlights of the movie is seeing that orange Supra that Han drives onto the scene, because it's a cool little callback to the Supra that Paul Walker drove in the first movie, but it's also like the new model of the Supra. But I don't know, there are still things in here for like people who enjoy to watch like really fancy, pretty cars. So this movie isn't all bad, but it's definitely, in my opinion, it's probably the worst of the series. It like probably really? up there with 8 for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love your passion for this, Paul, honestly. Like, I'm inspired.
I love these movies so much, even the worst ones. I still love it, but I think it's time to for this ride to come to an end, you know, unless they plan on doing like a spinoff
with Cardi B.
I don't know.
with Cardi B in space. Well,
okay, so I did look it up on Wikipedia. Here are the planned spinoffs. Well, here are the planned additional movies. The 10th Fast and the Furious movie is going to be a two-parter.
Oh, right.
So it's 10 and 10B.
10 and 10-2, like Final Fantasy.
Yeah, perfect. Then there is an untitled Hobbs and Shaw sequel.
Ugh.
But good news for the Cardi thing, which I'm pretty sure this is why she was introduced in this, is there's also going to be like a mostly ladies Fast and Furious spinoff movie. I don't know what reasoning they will come up with that they will have to do an all ladies mission, but this is like, that's definitely why they introduced Cardi here. Cause she's definitely going to be like, at least that's my thinking, is like, what, that's why you would introduce her now. So you can be like, remember her from this? Well, she's also here doing, and hopefully they will do a crime because I want that.
Right.
Because I want them to do a crime because I love crime.
Yeah, that's the takeaway from all of those.
That's what I want to watch. It's like, that's why I'm here. I want to watch people do illegal street racing, steal DVD players, steal like from a big bank, use and like,
go to space. Sorry, to space. I am obsessed with space. I feel like that's been made clear, but
no.
Oh, can I mention one last trivia thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
This I also was confirmed to me, I guess. Well, I have to like look into the sources here, but I pulled this from IMDb trivia. But I mentioned it before, but Sung Kang was in that movie that Justin Lin directed called Better Luck Tomorrow, which came out in 2002, prior to Tokyo Drift. And in Tokyo Drift, I believe, or he's known, one of his aliases is Han Sol O, which is kind of like a wink towards the Star Wars series franchise. But it's revealed that his actual name is Han Lu, which is the character who was in Better Luck Tomorrow. So Justin Lin kind of confirmed that this is the same character from that original movie, which I haven't seen, actually, surprisingly enough. I still haven't seen, but I'm going to make that a priority now that I know this, because it's like, oh, that's more Han, which I thought was really cool. I don't know. I thought that was really cool. And I guess to kind of like wrap things up again, if they do want to do another spinoff, they've proven that they've done it, that they can do it right. Like, they've done it with Tokyo Drift. I think Tokyo Drift is great. It kind of really echoed a lot of the same core values, I guess, of the first couple of movies about sort of this found family thing and loyalty. And a lot of it's like heteronormative bullshit, to be completely honest. But they can do this, right? Like, they have the Lego pieces to craft another really cool, fun thing. It's just like, we have to let that original cast, like, we kind of got to let them go. Let them go retire, please. Because, and it's not Hobbs and Shaw. I mean, I'm not sure how much money that movie made, but
enough to make a second one.
They have to make a second one, so that it seems like they're continuing to like extract the wrong lessons. But at the same time, like, I mean, we're the ones ultimately asking for this, right? Because these movies continue to make bank at the box office, and yeah, we're all to blame in the end. You know, we kind of deserve this. This is the movie franchise that we deserve at this point. So yeah, tracks.
Okay. Well, I actually enjoyed this a lot more than Paul did. I thought it was dumb and it was fun and I laughed, but also I don't have as much invested in this, I don't think. Even though I did like cry a few times. Like, what did I write in my notes? Let's see. I'm not sure what happened except that a lot of things happened and then I cried because Paul Walker's dead. But we should wrap up because we've been going a very long day
without you, my friend. Now it's this song's just gonna be there with you forever.
Sing it, Fernanda.
I can't just say Paul Walker's name is just a reflex, it's just a biological reaction.
That's
to hearing
fair.
His name.
But if you are like me and you just want to see crimes, I have great news for you.
Oh my god!
Because the rest of July, we're no longer gonna be You Love to See It. We're gonna be You Love to Steal It. We're doing movies about thieves for the rest of the month, starting with next week. We are watching one of my all-time favorite movies, The Hot Rock. Please, please watch it. It's going to be a really fun one.
I've never seen it. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
I haven't seen it. I'm excited.
Yeah. The whole month, though, is going to be really fun. So please stick around. Am I good to wrap up? Do we have anything else you want to add about... Fernanda, do you have anything else you want to add about outer space? Or Michelle Rodriguez?
No, I feel like we got it all out there. But I doing this with both of you because I was so confused and like unaware of all the things happening all the time. So like having your insights really made me rethink everything, which is interesting. I feel like I need to watch it again and like, because all the time when I watch these things and I don't understand them, it's always like, is this very confusing or am I just stupid? And I think in this case, it was a little bit of both. And I like it. I'm at peace with it. But I love it. And I love Paul's passion for Fast and Furious because it mirrors my passion for 80s and 90s bad action movies in general, but specifically Van Damme. So I feel I can relate absolutely to the enthusiasm.
Beautiful.
I just want to make a pact here that one day we'll have a barbecue somewhere and
have coronas.
One of us will say grace and we can have coronas, and hang out, have a good time, retire.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to say a bracha over a corona. That's going to be beautiful. Yes. Yeah, amazing. Can't wait. So yeah, let me read this outro. Danielle, we'll be back next week. This job is so hard, Danielle. Danielle usually hosts, and it's hard. And props to Danielle. Okay, that's all for this week. We hope you enjoyed your cinematic journey with us. Please rate and review our podcast. Please tell a friend. Like, I think this is a good show.
It's an awesome show.
I think
show.
It's very good.
We're awesome.
And you should tell everyone you know, basically, to listen to it. And, absolutely. Like, if you need to threaten them by, like, coercing them into doing...
Crimes? I think I think listening to the show is better than doing crimes. Like that's
I think so too.
Just like, do that instead.
Like, okay, if you're like, hi, you're the key to a super weapon that's going to take over all the technology in the world. Do I wanna make you do that? Or just have you listen to You Love to See It? Just have them listen to You Love to See It. It's fine. But you can listen to all of our stuff, which is all very good, at fanbyte.com/podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Fanbyte Media, Instagram at Fanbyte, TikTok on Fanbyte, and of course, on fanbyte.com. You can watch all of our streams on twitch.tv/fanbyte. Thank you to Paul Tamayo, whose nickname I was at the front of the dock.
Oh, it was Nobody Junior.
Nobody Junior Tamayo for producing, as well as being on Double Duty. Oh, we have our Discord, fanbyte.casa. Where can folks find you, Paul?
I'm at Paulimayo on Twitter.
How about you, Fernanda?
I'm on Twitter at Nanda Prates, P-R-A-T-E-S _.
And you can find me on Twitter at HunkTears. Thank you so much. And until next time, you love to see it.